God bless you. I'm excited about teaching the word today and just jumping in really to a brand new series and just seeing what God has for us over the next few weeks. It's May the 1st, and I don't know if you're finding that hard to believe, but I'm finding that hard to believe. The old saying is that the days are long, but the years are short. Anyone ever heard that? The days are long, but the years are short. Everything is moving fast for me right now. We have a graduating senior in our house, so there's lots of emotion for me and mom, and it's a lot happening, and I've learned that May, the month of May, is a month where you have to kind of fight for focus, because we feel summer close, which means there's going to be a bit of a slowdown, at least in the schedule and the school runs and the car lines and the homework, and I'm sure there's going to be a good break and maybe a vacation, and we feel all that coming close, but there's still work to do. Our students have finals, which means our parents have finals, and we've got all of these things happening in the next couple of weeks, and so we have to stay focused. And so as a church, we've got awesome events and incredible things that are happening this month. Of course, Mother's Day, as I said, is next Sunday, and then graduation Sunday on the 15th, and then church picnic on the 29th. It's going to be a great month, and I'd love for you to be a part of every Sunday, the good things that are happening. But I'm beginning a new series today that I believe will help us. Yes, you may. You may. You have permission. This is a series about divine permission, realizing that we have God's yes. We have a yes from God. You may be struggling with something. You may be trying to figure something out. You may be looking for an answer. But I'm going to tell you at the very outset of all that God is going to teach us and say to us over the next few weeks, you have God's permission. You have a yes from God. And it seems like maybe I'm just teaching from my own shoes today, but it seems like our lives are always positioned so that we are behind or so that we are up against it, so to speak. And it leaves us always playing catch up, always feeling like we are late, always feeling like we are missing something, always feeling like we have dropped a ball or we have forgotten something. We just live life that way, and it happens so much, and it happens so often that it just becomes our just day-to-day reality. We learn to live with this feeling that we're always missing something or that we're never going to be able to catch up. It is an absolute fact that if you do not manage life, then life will manage you. Anybody else feel like sometimes that life is telling you what to do rather than you telling life what it is you want it to do and how you want it to go? Sure, it's a lot of us. It's a lot of us. And this is week one, so I'm still working it out and I'm still processing. But I want to look at this story in John chapter 5 today. John chapter 5, beginning at verse number 1. Let me read this, and it's on the screen as well if you're taking notes and want to write that down or find that in your Bible or on your tablet or device. John 5, beginning at verse 1. Afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city near the sheep gate was the pool of Bethesda with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, they lay on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew that he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me." Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. I really just want to use this text today as a backdrop, this story as a backdrop. I preached this story in detail a couple of years ago in a message called My Place at the Pool. So I just want to use the general sense of this text because I see permission so strong in this story. This is a man who has significant challenge in his life. He has issues. He has limitation. He has struggle. If you can imagine whatever it is, he's got it. He's dealing with it. He is like hundreds of other people who are there. Other translations give indication about the crowds of people, and that some of what we preached was that they kept adding on and building more porches because there were so many people who were struggling, much like this man is struggling. Crowds of sick people. The Bible said blind, lame, and paralyzed. And the Bible said that he had been there for 38 years. 38 years. Folks, that is a long time. If you've been alive for 38 years, you've been alive for a long time. Not saying you're old, but you've been alive for a long time. 38 years. And there's so many thoughts that go into why he was there. I mean, why he's been there for 38 years. That is astounding to me. Some of those thoughts include, well, there's safety in numbers. He's hanging out with hang-ups. Misery loves company. I think I'll hang out here because no one is expecting much from me. I'm just going to live in this place because, you know, I just kind of know how the day is going to go. I'm going to struggle. I'm going to have difficulty. I'm going to barely get by. I'm just going to hang on as best I can. I think some good thoughts for all of us, some good questions for all of us to ask is who am I running with and who am I listening to and where am I living? Atmosphere is everything. So if I'm living in an atmosphere of negativity, what change can I make? Spoiler alert, this atmosphere, the atmosphere you're in today is an atmosphere that is going to push you. It's an atmosphere that is going to challenge you. We're not building this for anyone's comfort, for everyone's safety, absolutely. But I want someone to challenge me to be everything that God has called me to be. Is everybody all right with the word today? Atmosphere is everything. He's in this congregation of crisis. He's in this place where there is great struggle, and yet the Bible said that Jesus saw him and knew how long he had been in that condition. You know what? You need to know that today. You need to hear what I'm preaching and what I'm quoting from the word. Jesus saw him. Why is that so important? Because the devil will work hard to convince you that no one knows and no one understands what it is you're going through. But can I tell you today that Jesus sees you And Jesus knows exactly what you are going through. You see, believing the lie of the devil, believing the lie that no one knows and no one understands and no one can see me, that is what keeps us stuck for 38 years. That's what keeps us stuck for 38 months. That's what keeps us stuck for 38 weeks or maybe just 38 days, believing the lie of the enemy that no one knows and no one sees. That's why I stay stuck. But I want you to know today that you have permission to receive your best from the Lord. You've got permission. You've got permission. He asked the man, would you like to get well? You can be well. Would you like to be well? Yes, you may. You may get up from where you are. You may live a completely different life than you're living. I give you permission to be who you want to be. And answers come like, well, I'm thinking about it. Thinking about it. You ever met people who think about things for too long? I mean, months later, you're still thinking about it? I mean, what is there to think about? What else is there to consider? What else is there to toss around or to think about? What are you thinking about? It leads me to this truth. Permission means nothing if there is no desire. Permission means nothing if there is no desire. When Jesus asked him if he would like to get well, he responded, I can't, sir. I can't. That tells me that desire trumps ability. You're probably facing some real limitations in life. And it's possible that you can't do anything to change those limitations. Okay, we can settle that. We can understand that. We can empathize with that. But hear the question that Jesus asked this man who's been in this position for 38 years. He asked him if he would like to be well. He didn't ask him if he could be well. He asked if he wanted to be well. Because first things have to be established first. I believe that if we get our desire in the right place, that the rest has to follow. If we get our faith in the right place, that everything else has to follow. What are you saying? I'm saying that ability obeys desire. Write that down, because I feel you're wrestling with that just like I wrestled with that. Ability obeys desire. We have it backwards because we are focused on our inability. We're focused on what is not working and all of the reasons why it is not working. But I want you to watch what Jesus said. Jesus said, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. Jesus said that in response to the man saying, I can't. Someone always gets there before me. When the water is bubbling and it's miracle season, someone always beats me to the miracle. I can't. Jesus said, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. I contend that absolutely nothing had changed in this man's life from the previous 38 years, except for one thing. He now has divine permission. Yes, you may. He now has permission to do what he previously could not do. The difference of where we are right now and where we hope to be, where we pray to be, where we dream of being is God's permission in our life. So let me ask you today, what is it that you're wanting God to do in your life? What is it that you're wanting God to do for the people that you love? I know you don't have the ability to change it or to change them, so you have to get His permission in your life and then see what happens. Yes, you may. I believe this is going to be a month of rising faith and lifting faith for people to realize, wait a minute, I've been living thinking that the answer was no. I've been living thinking that the situation would never change. But I got a revelation on May the 1st, 2022, that I have God's yes in my life. He has said that I can stand up, I can pick up my mat, and I can walk. I can do what previously was impossible to me for 38 years or 38 days. I can do what I thought I would never be able to do because I have God's permission. And if I was only interested in preaching to your faith and to your desire, I'd stop right there and have the music come and hoop a little bit and we'd go on to lunch. But I need to get specific with you. I need to get practical with you. I need to dig into the weeds and get my hands into the dirt of your spirit and your soul a little bit, because when we talk about getting permission, what am I getting permission for? What is it? What is it? We were raised up having to get permission for everything. What is it that I'm getting permission for? I need divine permission. First of all, I need permission to move on from some things. Let me give you the first one. I need permission to move on from old history. I need permission to move on from old history. Whatever happened to make you think that this is how whatever is current in your life will always be. Whatever mistake you made, whatever choice you made, whatever decision you made, whatever happened 20 plus years ago in your life that you think has so changed the rest of your life and affected the rest of your life that it can never be undone, it can never be healed from, it can never be gotten over, it can never be recovered. You have permission to move on from old history. From the thing that has you stuck. Have you ever gotten a vehicle stuck? Been in a truck or car, you parked in the wrong place, you got down in some mud, and you'll get a few friends. You'll get a few friends that'll get behind that bumper and they'll try to rock that car. Everybody always tries to lift the car. Listen, none of y'all are strong enough to lift a car out of the mud. You're not strong enough to lift a car out of the pavement. We're just not strong enough to lift vehicles, but we'll try anyway, because who knows, maybe. One time we were stuck trying to get to church, and I was back there praying, God, would you, like Samson, just give me strength to lift up this car? The Lord did not answer that prayer. I got mud all over me from tires that were spinning in a stuck place. Because that's what happens. Someone sits in the driver's seat and they put the car in drive and they put their foot on the gas and the tires just spin. I mean, the speedometer, it's showing forward progress, but there is no forward progress. We're busy about life, but we're not advancing. We're not moving. We're not gaining in the ground. All of the gauges, we're using gas and energy. We got the speedometer. It's kicking on up in the 30, 40, 50 mile an hour range, but we're not going anywhere because we are stuck. And as long as you are being controlled by your past, as long as you are still in that rut and still in that hole, can I give you permission? Can you hear the voice of the Lord today giving you permission to move on from old history? Your past has bound you long enough. Your bad choice has bound you long enough. It is time for you to move on. you have permission, God's permission to move on from old history. That ought to bless somebody today. I love what Isaiah said, chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. He said, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Because we have permission to move on from old history. I believe we have divine permission to move on from old habits. Old habits. Everyone has habits. All of us. The preacher, the sound man, the usher, the musicians, everyone has habits. The problem is most of us have more bad habits than we do good habits. Most of us have more things that we do incorrectly or wrongly than we do right, and it gets us in trouble. Everyone has habits. What is it that I'm addicted to? Is it a substance? Is it thinking? Is it crisis? Is it negativity? Is it anxiety? What is it that I am addicted to? What is it that is creating habits in my life? Generally, whatever it is that's giving me the excuse to remain stuck, that's what I'm addicted to. Ooh, I'm messing with you now. Because we like our excuses. We become addicted to, those things become habit in our life. And I kind of want to get healed, but I don't really want to get healed, because if I get totally healed, then people are going to expect more out of me. And so it's better if I just kind of stay in this, you know, half in, half out. Sort of kind of healed, but not quite all the way really just yet. Because as long as I keep one foot in, one foot out, then people don't expect much from me. You got permission to move on. You got permission to move on from old habits. Isaiah 58 and 6, is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and unite the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? That means there is no habit, there is no addiction, there is no stronghold, there is no cord, there is no chain, there is no handcuff, there is nothing that can hold me back from being who God has called me to be. He has given you permission to break out of all of that stuff. It doesn't feel like it. I don't see anything falling. I know it didn't feel like it for the man that had been at the pool for 38 years either. He was so busy telling Jesus he couldn't. I can't. And here's all the reasons why. And Jesus said, look, let's just cut through all of that. Stand up. Take up your bed and walk. Let's just cut through all of the stuff that you've been talking about and saying, and all of the reasons why, and all of the excuses, and all of the things that you struggle. Just get up and go, because we have divine permission to move on from old habits. Let me give you one more. We have permission to move on from old hurts. We have permission to move on from old hurts. It is possible. Now, it's just my humble opinion, but it's certainly possible that there is nothing that hinders us more than old hurts. I'm pausing intentionally because I want you to think. I want you to consider. I want you to process, because relationship hurt will keep you from trusting again. Family hurt will keep you from loving again. Church hurt will keep you from serving again. I'm glad you wore the t-shirt today, Ansley. Everybody come see Ansley after church and read her t-shirt. She will love, she loves, I'm making this announcement right now. Come see her. Her t-shirt says, Church Hurt. It's awesome. Church hurt will keep us from serving again. It'll keep us from being faithful. It'll cause us to lose out on years and years and years of God's best for our life because we are focused on an old hurt. I'm not minimizing the hurt. I'm not trying to suggest the hurt didn't happen. I'm not trying to say that they didn't say it, that they didn't do it, and it should have been dealt with, and it was all an injustice. But I'm not about to let what someone did cause me to miss out on the best that God has for my life. I have divine permission to move on from old history and from old habits and from old hurts. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. I've got permission to move on from old history, old habits, and old hurts. But that's not enough preaching. I got just a few minutes left because I want to give you permission to move to some things. It's not just about moving on. If I finally get the tires out of the deep hole, if I finally get on dry ground and I'm able to actually make some progress and move in a certain direction, where am I going? I've got to have direction. I've got to have some coordinates set in my GPS. I've got to have an address. Where is it that I'm going? I don't want you just to move on. I want you to move to something. And I believe that we have divine permission to move to getting closer to God. I don't know if all of that is grammatically correct, but it's the way I heard it in my spirit and wrote it down. I have permission to move to getting closer to God. Because I want you to hear me today. At the end of your life, you may regret many things. You may have many oops and many, oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that or given so much time to that. But you absolutely will not have any regret about getting closer to God. But to get closer to God, I have to be intentional about it. Because It's not going to just happen. If I'm going to get closer to God, it's going to be because I get to church, I worship, I serve, I give, I engage. That's why I'm always trying to move people from the sidelines onto the field. I'm always trying to move people out of the stands and out of the shadows and out of the places of anonymity. Come on, move out here on the field. I promise you, you're safe out here on the field. You're safe. You're safe in the field where the play is happening. You're safe. We're going to guard. We're going to protect. We're not always going to get it right. We're people, and people mess up, and people hurt, and people offend, and people say the wrong things, and people do us dirty sometimes, but that's not God's plan for your life. Get out of the shadows and see what it is that God has for you. You say, well, wait a minute, my spouse isn't ready. My bestie doesn't want to come. You need to make a decision for you. No matter who is ready in your life, you got to come while the Lord is calling. It's time to get closer to God. I love James 4:8. Come close to God and God will come close to you. It didn't say God's going to come close to you and then you make up your mind what you're going to do. No, you start that process. You start moving in his direction. You start reaching for him, and what you're going to find out is that he's always been reaching for you. Draw close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. You've got to make up in your mind, because I have permission to move to getting close to God. Let me give you another one. You have permission to move to getting honest with a friend. What? What does that mean? I told you we're going to be practical. Because at best, when I look at this story in John 5, as best we can tell, this man sat at the pool among many others, hundreds, some translations say. But he had no one to encourage him. He had no one to help him stay accountable. He had no one even to help him or to offer any kind of assistance to him. You know what? We need good friends. We need godly friends. We need friends who are going to lift us. And so we have permission to move to getting honest with a friend. James 5 and 16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Confess. Confess faults. Confess sins. Confess challenges. Get a friend. I'm not talking about post about it on Facebook. I'm not talking about tell it to everybody. I'm not talking about taking an ad out in the newspaper. But if there's somebody you can trust, because what is secret, what remains secret is always the weapon of the enemy. But when you get that thing out in the open and you become accountable to someone else, suddenly the enemy does not have the same power in your life. Because when the enemy comes and says, hey, people are going to find out. No, dummy, people already know. Because I follow James 5 and 16. And I confess my fault. I don't want everybody to know. But I'm accountable. And I'm in a good place because I've followed permission to get honest with a friend. And let me close here today, because this is important. We're going to move on from some things, but we're moving to some things. We're going to move to getting closer to God, and we have permission to move to getting honest with a friend. But finally today, we have permission to move to getting in tune with our purpose and our passions. I can't think of anything more valuable or more important or more fulfilling or more incredible in your life. When you know that you have something to live for, knowing you have something to live for, it gets you off the porch. It gets you out of the stuck place. It gets you out of the constant anxiety, the constant depression, the constant negativity. Because I'm in tune with my purpose and my passion. Purpose demands that you get unstuck. The reason I was back there praying that God would give me the strength of Samson to lift that car is because I had somewhere to be. I had a church service I had to be at. I had somewhere I had to be. When you have purpose on your life, it causes you to get creative. How do I get out of this? How do I fix this? How do I heal from this? How do I break out of this cycle? Somebody on the sideline is saying, "What, man, just stay in the cycle. Just remain right there. Why are you spinning your wheel? Just sit down and relax." The whole world just wants us to give up and sit down and just, no, I've got a purpose on my life. I've got somewhere I need to be. So purpose demands that we get unstuck. You have a purpose. You have passion. Maybe you've not identified why or to what, but I'd love to help you with that, because I do not want to waste God's yes in my life. What if that man who's having this conversation with Jesus, 38 years, yeah, 38 years, but you know, I got my bedroll, I got my nightstand, I got my own little spot. This is my spot. Hundreds of people, nobody messes with my spot. This is where I live. This is where I hang out. You want to be made whole? Do you want to be well? I can't. Tell you what, stand up. Pick up your mat and walk. What if the man would have said, no. See these feet? See these legs? No. Not doing it. I refuse. Can I tell you? That's what far too many of us sound like. Is that too strong? That's what too many of us sound like. When Jesus comes with an opportunity for healing and strength and the miraculous, we're busy telling him all the reasons that we can't have it, that it shouldn't happen, that we're not going to believe, that we're not going to walk in that understanding. But I love verse 9. Instantly, how many would like to have an instantaneous change in your situation? Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. I'm talking about a man that has scooped for 38 years. A man who has been only able to move just 3-4 inches at a time. Instantly. I'm talking about muscle atrophy. I'm talking about legs that have not developed. I'm talking about years and years of missing out on the right things, the nutrition, everything that he needs. But instantly, all of that was changed, healed. And the Bible said that the man began walking. You may. Yes, you may. You have permission from God both to move on and to move to. What is it that God wants to do in your life? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Whew. Come back next week. Just let me work it out. Let me work it out. God's yes is loud and strong in my life. I know why I feel the challenge, Lord. I know why I sense the pushback and the warfare in this atmosphere, because the enemy's best tool is not immorality. The enemy's best tool is not addiction. The enemy's best tool is not porn or adultery or... Oh, the enemy's best weapon is getting us to believe that we'll always be stuck and that nothing will ever change and that these wheels that are spinning in my life will never actually go anywhere. All that other stuff is what happens when I'm not living in my purpose. So today, Lord, I pray for people that have divine permission, people that have your yes. We're baptizing people today, Lord. Maybe someone else in this room that wants to be baptized, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you're making a decision, you're making a choice, you're processing, you're thinking, you're working on this and trying to figure all of this out, and what is it that God is saying to me, and what is God speaking to me, and man, wrestle with it, process it, toss it back and forth, work through it in your mind. At the end of the day, God wins. At the end of the day, God gets the glory. Maybe you need to make a decision today. Maybe you need to make a choice today. Maybe you need to say yes to Jesus. What does that mean? That means I'm repenting of my sin. I'm confessing that I know that He is my Savior, and without Him I cannot make it. If you're in this room and you need to pray that prayer, if you need to make that choice, it all begins right there. Just pray this with me. Say, Jesus, I want you to say yes to me. I want your permission in my life. I want to know your plan and your will and all that you desire. But Lord, I need to say yes to you. And today I repent of my sin. Today I ask you to clean my life. I'm turning away from that and I'm turning toward you. I'm moving on from old history, old habits, and old hurts. And I'm moving to getting closer to you, getting honest, and getting in tune with my purpose. I pray it today in Jesus' name. I accept your gift and your grace. Amen and amen and amen. Can we give Jesus praise today? Got a baptism happening in just a moment. If they want to prepare, if anyone else in the room is ready to be baptized, you can be baptized today. I don't have any clothes. We got shorts. We've got t-shirts. We've got towels. We ready. We ready. Today is your day. Man, let today be your day. I've got permission. Y'all got permission to sing, you know that? Got permission to be amazing. Y'all feel like being amazing? Well, I'm putting a lot of pressure on you. I better choose right and sing right. Amen. We're going to worship for just a moment. Why don't you stand with me across the room today? Hallelujah. Let's do it. Come on, sing like you got permission.
Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Send the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Listen, if you need that extra oomph, if you feel like you've been living life with tires just spinning and not moving, I challenge you, you can walk to the front of this church. I'd love to pray with you. Other team would love to pray with you today. You just feel like, you know what, I'm moving out of that position. I'm moving out of that place. Just a moment, we're going to be baptizing a man who's just found our church recently, and we're thankful for that. If others want to be baptized today, next Sunday, any Sunday, it's our honor and our joy. If you need to be dismissed, God bless you. If you want to hang around and celebrate with Clay today and awesome decision that he's making in his life, and I encourage you to do that. But while you're waiting just another moment on our baptism, we're saying, Jesus,
shout Jesus from the mountain,
shout
Jesus in the street,
oh,
Jesus in the darkness, over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Jesus in the darkness over.